welcome to another edition of the Polk Institute podcast. I'm your host, Michael Manahan. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know, I'm really excited about doing these podcasts. This is podcast number 3 for us. It's something we've started just to try and spread the word about the Polk Institute, but also to help entrepreneurs and small business people. For those of you not familiar with the Polk Institute, we are a nonprofit educational institute that supports what I would call flowering or emerging entrepreneurs. Our idea is we're going to give entrepreneurs a one-year educational program. I like to think of it as a master's level program because, believe me, the people we have teaching our classes are really top caliber individuals, experts in their field. By the way, I should mention they're all practitioners, which means they're not people from academia. And look, at nothing wrong with academia. I'm a professor. I teach accounting and finance, but I do come across a lot of professors who have, they know the textbook, you know, 500-page textbook. They know it backwards and forwards. They've never worked in an office or a business one single day in their life. But the people we've got teaching at the Polk Institute, they're practitioners or experts, and they all want to help. They want to help. Our goal, our plan, our program to train entrepreneurs. And then once the educational portion of the program is finished, we have an incubator / accelerator. Now, what does that mean? We're going to take those entrepreneurs. We're going to assign them to various mentors, people who are experts in legal, in marketing, in sales, in human relations, in logistics, and all of the things that you have to be an expert at to run a business. And hopefully get those businesses launched. And then the final key is we are going to build and are building relationships with funding sources, whether that be, you know, places like the Small Business Administration, many of the banks who have outreach programs for early stage companies now. Angel investors, private equity groups, venture capital groups, leasing companies, all of the people that can provide capital. So that's what the Polk Institute is all about. But the podcast is more than just talking about what the Polk Institute is doing. We want the podcast to be a resource for business people, small business people, maybe big business people too. The idea is we are going to bring you hopefully every week. That's my target, to do this once a week, but I'm not going to guarantee that. But to bring you once a week an expert who we can pick their brain, if you will. We can talk to that expert, get ideas from that expert, have that expert share with us some things that we could put into place and into action in our businesses right now that might help us improve profitability, generate more revenue, manage problematic staffing issues, whatever it is. But it's something, and by the way, it's free. That's the nice thing about the Polk Institute podcast. All of the ideas, yes, you know, most of the people who we're going to have on the show charge something for their services, but the information they're going to give you on this podcast is absolutely 100% free. And with that, I would like to introduce my guest for today. The guest is Alan Coleman. He is the founder, CEO of the Closers Group. He's also, by the way, a fellow professor at Cal State Dominguez Hills, a part-time professor. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, just what do you teach at Cal State, by the way? I think it's some kind of a marketing course, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually am teaching two mid and upper level marketing courses. One is the overall introduction to the broad range of marketing services. And the second is the more senior capstone type program where upper level juniors and seniors can really dig into case studies and learn how they could actually be marketeers.
Oh, wow. That's, you know, look at if there's anything businesses need today, it's how do you market your business? And it seems to me it's become a lot more complicated than it was 30 or 40 years ago. There's a lot more options And when you have a lot more options, sometimes it's like my daughter, when I used to take her to Barnes & Noble to buy some books, I'd take my two daughters, I'd give each one $20 to buy books. My oldest daughter, 5 minutes, she's loaded up on $20 worth of books. My youngest daughter, an hour later, she still hasn't decided. And I think sometimes trying to figure out how to market your business today is like my daughter trying to pick a book. There's so many options, you just don't know what to do.
Well, it's not just a matter of options, and you're right. There's the speed with which decisions are made today, which is very different. And we're also dealing with four generations who make decisions and take information differently. So you can compare a baby boomer who really wants solution-oriented information and wants to talk about it to the Gen Zers who only deal with things online. And how you go about addressing each of those becomes part of the issue of successful entrepreneurship.
Well, there's so much to cover, so much to talk about. But before we get into that, let's talk about you and your relationship with the Polk Institute. I know you had an interest, I think, in teaching one of our segments. Are you going to be teaching with us?
I certainly hope so. I plan to fill out and complete the application for adjunct professor. And as you may remember, I originally met Gary Polk many years ago when we were both volunteers at the South Bay Entrepreneurial Center. I'm still a mentor there, and I hope that I can do some of that in the future for the Polk Institute.
Oh, wow, that's neat. You know, I was involved with the South Bay Entrepreneurial Center, and I don't know what happened. I kind of lost touch with that group, but I'd like to acquaint myself with them because I really enjoyed that. And I don't know what happened, whether they lost my email address or they said, you know, that Manahan, he's not a guy we want to associate with anymore. Maybe that's what happened. Anyway.
Well, it may be, yeah. But I can tell you that just briefly that we are in the process of really reinvigorating it. So this might be a good time to talk after our podcast.
Oh, I'd love to do that. And by the way, anybody else listening out there who might have an interest in lending your expertise to the Polk Institute as a professor, as a teacher, teach a segment on your area of expertise, go to our website, polk-ise.com, and there is a spot where you can apply to be a professor if you have an interest in doing that. So, Alan, tell me a little bit about your background and your history.
I'm happy to do that. I've spent about 30 years working with clients, customers, for-profits and nonprofits on helping them basically do three things. One, build their business, a really sophisticated, in-depth form of business development. The second element is really sales management. And one of the things that I'm glad that the Polk Institute is going to do is begin teaching courses that are no longer offered in the business schools. And almost every business school in the country now has dropped the sales management courses they used to teach. In effect, what that means is you may get a great undergrad or business MBA program and know everything there is to know about business except how to sell it. And I think one of the things entrepreneurs need to learn is how they promote their product, their service, their idea early on and follow it through. So that's one of the major things. And the third element is actually accelerating revenue, working side by side with clients on their day-to-day work after setting some priorities to actively pursue the best prospects for bringing in new business.
I got to ask you a question. It seems to me if I'm running a business school at a university that sales management is a pretty logical thing to offer students. Why is that not being offered anymore? What are they offering instead? Basket weaving?
I don't know that they're offering anything instead, but I can tell you this. One of our colleagues, Mike, a couple of years ago had his students interview 50 different colleges and universities, their alumni association. And what they found was about 20% of all of the alumni from these different companies, different schools, different colleges, have some kind of sales responsibility in their businesses. So to have dropped a major element to help graduate students especially succeed earlier in their program is astounding to me.
Yeah, that is just amazing. You know, I meet a lot of entrepreneurs and early stage companies, but not just early stage companies. companies that have been around a while. And often I find the companies can, they can go on and on and on about their products and their services and what they do. But then you start to ask them, well, how do you find customers? Who are your customers? Where do your customers come from? What's the best way of communicating with your customers? And you get these blank stares. I mean, I have a client of mine, and I hope they don't listen to this podcast, but this client has been around for a long time. The company does around $30 million a year. You would think they would have a really refined marketing plan and program. Not at all. It's like if they see sales starting to dip a little bit, they jump around and they say, gee, I guess we should be doing something to get new customers. So there's like no program or plan involved at all. It's so frustrating.
Well, you're right. And, you know, one of the things that you're describing is a violation of one of the key rules that we work on with our clients, and that is get your client, your prospect, talking 60% of the time, meaning you need to learn more from the prospect, it could be a client and you're offering a new service or a new product, but get them talking about what their concerns are, what their pain points are, what benefits do they need that they're not currently getting from a product or a service, or are they looking for solutions to a problem you can help them with? The bottom line is when we work with our folks, we don't want them going in to be touting their programs, their products, their services. We want them to go in and start asking questions that can lead them to those discussions, but ask the questions of your prospect or the finance source that you're talking to, or whoever it is, about what it is that they're most interested in, what their concerns are, and have your answers prepared for those questions.
So these days, I mean, we are inundated by every kind of marketing you can imagine, everything from radio ads, television ads, billboards, you on the internet. I mean, it seems to me now when you go on some websites, there's more ads than there is content. You know, you go on to read one article, there's a nice page with this nice article on it, and on the side there's 27 ads, and down below there's 52 more. And it seems the push in gaining new business has been what I would call advertising. But your background is sales, and when I think of sales, I think of kind of that face-to-face marketing where you're actually talking to somebody. Is there still a place in business for what I call the old-time salesman, where you go out and you have a meeting, you shake the guy's hand, and of course, in COVID, we're not going to shake his hand, but, you know, where you bump elbows and you actually sit down and have a discussion with somebody?
I think that's really still the key to a lot of new business. I'm not sure it applies directly to entrepreneurs who are trying to generate, you know, interest in a product. They clearly have to expand, let's say, their marketing, their advertising, their promotion, their information before they can get some access. But in general, yes, there's a great ad that British Airways used to run, and it said emails don't end in handshakes. And what, of course, they wanted you to do is hop on an airplane, one of theirs, and fly over and meet somebody face to face. But building personal relationships, and it can be by Zoom, if it has to be by phone on frequent conversations or emails back and forth, however it's done, building those personal relationships still remains one of the absolute keys to growing future business or to attracting revenue to a new product or service. It absolutely is critical. And even for Gen Zers, who tend to like to be just on social media and on the internet, and that's where they want to do their exchanges, at some point, they need to make some decisions about who they're dealing with. And they may not recognize it yet, but they're going to have to start doing that because of one key ingredient, and this is business: competition. It may be that I have a new idea or a new product and I'm going to be selling it or promoting it. But if I'm getting cold reception from people and not really getting interest from them or engaging with them, I'm not going to keep after them. And sooner or later, I'm going to find other people to deal with. So to answer your question again, building those personal relationships becomes really important. In fact, let me just mention mention one other thing quickly. In the Harvard Business Review, and by the way, I got my doctorate from NYU, not Harvard, but I read a lot of the Harvard information. And there was a blog recently where somebody said about 50% of your new business every year, 50% of your new business every year has to come from clients, referrals, and prospects. And those are the three groups that you need to be in touch with. I know this is a bit longer answer than perhaps others, except that I have to say again, building those relationships, whether they're face-to-face, on Zoom, email, however they're done, are critical.
You know, that brings me, and I so much agree with you, relationships are incredibly important. You know, actually, I write about that in my book on, The Secrets to Job Success, how just as individuals, our careers are so much impacted by relationships, and how building good relationships as an individual can help you in your career. I like to think of everybody as kind of their own little small business, and how much further you can go, how much more you can make, what better jobs you can get by knowing people and building relationships. And of course, the key is always you need to build these relationships in advance. You can't all of a sudden say, oh my gosh, you know, let me start building relationships and hopefully I'll have some results tomorrow. Good relationships, you know, they often, they take time to develop and to mature. And for small business people, it's one thing to build relationships with customers and potential customers, but I think it's really important that small business people build relationships with people that can help them strategically. So, you know, whether that's another company that might be entering the same markets that you could partner with, you could co-market with. I mean, the options are endless, but so many entrepreneurs I see, they try and it's going to do everything myself, and they're not going to reach out and develop relationships with people that can help them. And I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think you're right about the entrepreneurs. They get so wrapped up, legitimately so, in creating their idea, their whatever it is that they're going to ultimately build and hopefully sell, that they forget the external. They forget that they're developing something not for themselves, but it has to have one of two things for a potential buyer. It has to either benefit them or solve a problem for them. And if it doesn't do either, they're wasting their time. And so as part of the development process of a new business, of a new idea, of a new product, let's say, they need to be talking with people. One of the things, my books is called Business to Business Marketing Coloring Book. And in it, we have cartoons from quotes from marketing people, executives, and so on. And we've converted them to cartoons to make them memorable. The other thing we have in there memorable, we have quotes from well-known people that have to deal with marketing. And so during the courses that we present and discuss, whether it's a seminar or a webinar, we talk about building relationships. And the one quote that I really like is from Jada Pinkett Smith. She's a wonderful actress. And her comment is, direct communication is the only way to build relationships. And so you and I are really talking about the same thing. And it's a matter of when an entrepreneur recognizes that they can't stay working in their own little world, how do they branch out and start getting more exposure to what their idea is, to what the real world is like that they may be going into, and building that process in.
So speaking of building relationships, I'm sure some of the people listening are thinking, wow, you know, this Alan, he's a really smart guy. I'd love to get in touch with Alan and find out more about what he does and maybe what he could help me with. So if somebody is listening, Alan, how do they get a hold of you?
Our website is the Closers Group, C-L-O-S-E-R-S, closersgroup.com. My email is acolman, at closersgroup.com. I'm here in San Pedro, California. And also, you can get in touch at Cal State Dominguez Hills. I would say this, that in term, and thank you for giving me that opportunity. We do offer people who are interested, you know, some non-cost communication and strategy session just to to help them out a bit. And if we can go further, that's terrific too.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
I'll tell you one funny story if I can.
Yeah, please go ahead.
We came up with the name the Closers Group, again, because we're working on helping our clients close more new business. But when we ran our trademark, I got this book. It was like a phone book thick of closers, and I was worried that we're not going to get the name. It turned out almost all of them were garage door companies, closers companies with that name. So I always like to mention that because we don't do garage doors. We only do closing business.
Yeah, that's right. Different words or words can mean different things, but
right.
Definitely you're talking about closing new business. Let's talk about that for a minute. If I gave you an example of a business, could you then tell me some things you think that business should be doing to help close new business?
Yeah, I mean, we would look at a whole series of things that they were doing. For example, we'd like to know what they believe their brand is. And I'm not talking about a logo, what it is that they're actually offering people in five words or less. We'd like to look at how their leadership is built, what their strategy is, and if they have a business plan, looking at it to see how practical it is. We want to look at their marketing ideas, their communication. How are they communicating internally if they have people working with them or for them? And how they're ultimately communicating externally. Value, what value do they actually bring to a prospect or a client or an organization? And based upon that value, do they fully understand the customer, the consumer needs that they're going to be addressing? There's a whole series of things that we look at. We have a couple of different rapid assessment tools that we use depending upon where the company or the organization is. But these things give them and us very, very quick read on where they are, where their opportunities are, and where their challenges are, and how to put those together and make them work.
Those sounds like great ideas. Now, I like the fact that you dive into the organization a little bit, because a lot of businesses really have challenges differentiating themselves. I mean, telling, you know, it's the simple question, why do people buy from you? And I've asked that question to business owners, not just like startups, but I'm talking people who've been around for a while, and you get this blank stare. It's like, well, because we're here type of thing. But that's really not what motivates customers. You've got to have something that you're offering that gives them a reason to purchase or buy from you. And you should understand what that is, because if you understand what that is, then you can take advantage of it.
You're right. One of the quotes we also like to use is something from Jeff Bezos. And the quote is, your brand is what stays in the room after you've left the room. Your brand is what stays in the room after you've left the room. And what he's referring to is, it's not the brand, it's not the logo, it's not even necessarily the product or service that you're offering. It's what's the takeaway. We work with our folks to understand, in any meeting, in any email, in any Zoom, there's got to be one key message. We call it a takeaway. He calls it the brand. What's the one takeaway that you have that people will remember out of the meeting, out of the discussion, and so on, that will keep them interested in what you do? And just to give you an example of brand, if I said to people, you know, what does Nike sell? They're going to say tennis rackets and shoes and shirts and things. They don't sell that. That's not their brand. Their brand is performance gear. Or, and this is a funny one, I always like this one. I heard an interview about a year ago with a senior vice president from Black & Decker. And he was talking about brands, and somebody said to him, being facetious, well, what's the brand for the Black & Decker power drill? What's the brand for the power drill? And he said, holes.
Holes?
Holes. We dig holes. Our brand is, we make holes with our power drills. The point here is, to come back to your point, there has to be something that people remember about you more than anything else that's clear, that makes it understandable for why they should be dealing with you.
Interesting. And this is something that business people really need to spend some time thinking about, rather than spending all day running around putting out fires and taking care of customers and what have you. Alan, with our time remaining, let's say I'm a small business person. I own a small shop of some sort or a small business of some sort. Give me an idea that I could use like tomorrow or in the next week that could help me do a better job of closing new business.
You mentioned an idea that I wanted to come back to anyway a few minutes ago, and that is alliances. Who are companies or individuals or product developers that you could team up with? Maybe you're not directly competitive, but you're looking at some of the same market areas where you could try to co-market, where you could introduce each other and the products that you're offering to others that you know. It's a way to reach out. It costs you nothing, and it builds relationships, not necessarily with potential customers, but with people who can help you and you can help them in their business. It is so easy to do. Almost everybody, even a one-person operation of some kind, has colleagues that they know or they went to school with or they know through PTA or you name it, some community organization. It's so easy to do, and it really helps. Plus, you may find that you can start exchanging information with people who, respect your confidentiality and vice versa, and maybe they can help you understand a little bit more how to chase a particular type of customer. I think that's one of the easy things to do. So I would start with the alliance concept, and then move on to other possibilities. Right now, with trade shows being unavailable, and probably that's a good idea because people are learning how to market without trade shows, is working harder on what your proposals, what that takeaway is, what that brand is, and using that along with the alliance to keep building.
Good ideas. Now, you mentioned something to me which I didn't really quite understand, so I want you to explain this. You talked about something called your accelerator funnel. What is an accelerator funnel?
One of the things that we find with, and this applies primarily to companies that have been in business for a while, it could apply to entrepreneurs at some point in their business development. I mentioned earlier that business has to come from only three sources. It comes from clients or customers, referrals, and prospects. What we work with our clients to do is build a priority action funnel. So we say, take all of your clients and customers, all of your prospects, everybody that you've referred to or who have referred you, and come up with a top 10 list for each of those three. And then take the top 10 of those groups and put them into a funnel. We actually have a physical visual funnel because it helps people manage. And you put the first top 10 in there and you say, okay, this week we're going to be contacting those 10. And as soon as you've contacted somebody and you set up the next meeting or the next call or the proposal or whatever it is, they move into a lower funnel, which is the action funnel, and you add another top 10 person to the top of the potential list. There are these CRMs, customer relationship management software systems that can be very helpful. The problem is we find a lot of companies, they have them and they're not really used. This is a very, very simple visual way using our accelerator funnel to work through chasing priorities. And the reason the priorities become so important, about 3 or 4 years ago, Tony Robbins and Chet Holmes wrote a book called Business Breakthroughs. And it has a lot of research that they did. And one of the things that they found, and this is amazing, is only 3% of everybody that you know in your business world are ready to buy what you're making or what you're selling. Only 3%, which is why we try to work with our clients. Who are the real priorities? We challenge them on this and we make sure that they're staying up to date with them. Go after those priorities. Make them the initial people that you really want to develop business with. And again, you ask, coming back to this question about what other advice would you give to people? Once you sell something new, let somebody who's a prospect know about it. In other words, don't just keep a sale to yourself if it's not confidential. Let others that you're hoping to do business with know that you just sold one of these units or this new service.
Those are such great ideas. And yeah, I think that's something a lot of small businesses fail to do, is to talk about their successes. But, you know, Alan,
exactly.
Unfortunately, we are pretty much out of time. It's been such a pleasure talking with you today. Give me once more. Somebody wants to get a hold of you. Where do they go?
It's A. Coleman, no E, A-C-O-L-M-A-N, A. Coleman at closersgroup.com, or our website is closersgroup.com. And thanks, Michael.
Okay, Alan, thank you so much for being with me. This is the Polk Institute Podcast. My name is Michael Manahan. I am your host, and I hope you join me on our next program.